Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate movies. I'm your host, Jay Light. Joining me today, my good friend, Ted Harris.
Hey. Welcome to the jam.
Come on and slam Space Jam, A New Legacy. It's bad.
It's pretty bad.
It's not just pretty bad. It's...
It's widely panned.
I don't understand. It's bad on a level that I don't understand why it's as bad as it is.
I'm going to always say the biggest disappointment of the movie, because there are so many, but biggest disappointment in media coverage is that nobody said like brick in as a headline.
Airball.
Like,
oh my God. Ted,
really bad.
Ted, it was really bad, and it just came out, and everybody's talking about how bad it is. I truly don't know where to begin, and I think I'm guessing my best way into this is to ask you what your experience was like, because you were telling me about how you watched this movie and then you left.
You walked
out of the room that it was on.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, is that the moment that it was bad? But it must have been earlier. Like, there must have been a point. It was so bad I walked out of the room. I don't do that a lot. I think I watched it at home instead of going to the theaters. So, obviously, I felt I had that permission to,
yes.
You know, I didn't have to pay for it. I was very happy I didn't have to pay for it. That was, like, the best part. And I was on my phone, I think, or cooking at some, like, during some of it after I had given up. It was that bad. I usually, especially like a Marvel movie, even if like I think it's kind of boring, I'll sit through it and I'll watch the whole thing. You know, I mean, full disclosure. I am from Boston. I am a Celtics fan.
Okay.
So there's reasons for me not to like LeBron or hate the Lakers.
Right.
I don't really. When I saw that LeBron was coming to LA, I was excited because of this movie. I was like, oh, he gets to do Space Jam. This is
That's
great.
Why. Yeah.
Yeah. I like LeBron. He's greatest of all time. So I was pumped for this movie and then pretty surprised at myself that I walked out of that room, because I would have. It's like a 2-hour movie.
It's a really long movie. The original Space Jam was less than an hour and a half, which is the length that this movie should have been.
You have everything set up already. We've all seen Space. It could be 45 minutes.
Like, no. And instead they spend an entire hour setting up this bullshit of like, all right, we're going to go inside the servers. We're going to go inside all of the different Warner Brothers properties and pull everybody out of there. And that takes a fucking hour.
Oh, I just want to jump in and like already, cause I watched Space Jam 1 after I have seen all of Space Jam and New Legacy. I went back last night and I watched it. And then I watched Space Jam 1 after just to like, really like, yeah, it's, sequels, you kind of want a lot of what the first one was giving you, but so much of that, I think, is in tone and is in, like, almost the way it's shot. I don't know. I guess you'd look at Fast and the Furious.
Well, like, yeah, I mean, I think when you talk about tone, you want a movie that either feels close to the original, I think. Like in the instance of Fast and Furious, they all feel like they're close enough to the original tonally, but they kind of build plot-wise on doing something different. Back to the Future 2, I think is a great example of what a sequel can do that makes a positive impact and does not detract from the original. Like, I think the original is better, but I don't think that Back to the Future 2 is a bad movie because it takes all of the plot elements and the devices and stuff, you know, the DeLorean and Doc Brown and all the characters and stuff, and it brings them into a new-ish space, but it doesn't totally rewrite stuff, even though literally part of it is like about rewriting the past and the future and all that stuff. It doesn't make it feel like we're coming at it from a completely different angle than we were before.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess this is a reboot, right? So it's a little a new legacy. I don't know if there's anybody who, I've tried to do a little research, anybody who made the first Space Jam is involved in this project.
Yeah.
It doesn't
look like it. And as soon as I started watching the opening credits for this movie, I knew there was going to be a problem because Space Jam had four writers. Okay. Space Jam was written by four dudes and none of them are involved in the second one. Not only that, but there are six writers on the new Space Jam. And as many know, the more cooks you wind up with in the kitchen on a film, the worse it's going to wind up being because it just feels disjointed. It feels all over the place. Like, one of the things I wrote down while I was watching this movie by the way, I threw out my back on Friday, so I was watching this movie lying on the hardwood floor in my apartment in pain, as God intended, I think, for people to watch this movie.
And I threw out my back because I have been laying on my bed, which is a busted bed. So we're two broken men.
Talking about a broken movie.
With the pristine LeBron James. We're going to destroy him.
Well, here's the... So LeBron... Oh, my God. There's a lot of problems in this movie. And I think one of the biggest problems is that there's nobody likable in the movie, including LeBron, who's the ostensibly, he's the hero of this movie. And he's not really. Like, he's just the face. He's the guy who everybody came to see. The hero of the movie kind of winds up being his son, Dom.
Yeah.
But LeBron's a piece of shit in this movie.
He's a jerk. It's tough to have a unlikable character, right? As that's always tough. Mm-hmm. He's got to have flaws, right? But I had a bigger deal with like not liking Bugs Bunny and any of the Looney Tunes.
How do you fuck up Bugs Bunny?
How do you do that? And like they made a new Looney Tunes show. And that's really good. That's actually really good. And I think they have a lot of the same voice actors and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I don't even you talk about the writers, you talk about LeBron, you talk about, you know, I mean, I'm kind of like how this movie was shot compared to Space Jam 1. But all of that is honestly fine. The biggest issue with the movie is the corp. And that's what everybody hounds on, is just how corporatized it is and how like, probably my roommate was talking about how AT&T wrote this movie. Like they had their hands in it and they just pumped it full of IP. It's like, God, it's everything wrong with movies right now.
Yes. It's a whole movie that is, and this is not an original take. I'll say this. It's a movie that's an ad for HBO Max. It's all it is. It's got basically every single Warner Brothers property you could think of shows up some way in this movie, in a cameo or in a full sequence, which leads to a lot of problems with the storytelling. So this movie's supposed to be like a kid's family movie, right? It's rated PG. It's full of super obvious jokes for the kids, and jokes for the adults too, I guess, who are taking their kids to go see this movie or watching it with them on their couch at home.
Yeah.
But the way it kind of winds up being is it throws a bunch of properties at the wall and tries to make a joke around every property. But those jokes are for the adults, or they're supposed to be at least, and they're largely bad. And then the jokes for the kids are all jokes that are such low-hanging fruit that I've seen them done in not only just in Looney Tunes cartoons before, but also on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Like, nothing in this movie, as far as the actual comedy of it goes, feels either original or like it is for somebody. Like, I don't know who the jokes in this movie are for.
Yeah. 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 I think you're absolutely right. I did laugh at I laugh at everything.
Yeah.
So I'm laughing, at a few things. I did miss the one joke, which I was like, I walked out of the room when I left the first time. I missed the probably one joke that I complained about later, which was that I think and this is a big problem for me. The Looney Tunes themselves are pushed to the side, right? Like,
right.
They're kind of a big, probably like a big motivator, for how fun it is.
Right.
I'll take this example, Foghorn Leghorn, right? I left the room for his only chicken joke, that he has, which was, spoiler alert, he gets vaporized, as he gets turned into a real chicken.
Yeah, they get turned into real, which is not real. It's right. it's shitty 3D claymation looking garbage.
And I kind of wish it was that the whole time, honestly. But whatever, animation choice. Go ahead, do whatever. As he gets transformed, he goes, cock-a-doodle don't. Cock-a-doodle no.
Yeah.
And in the first Space Jam, the joke is that somebody calls Michael Jordan chicken, and he goes, now I resemble that statement. So, like, love Foghorn Leghorn. They use him a lot in Space Jam 2 as just like a plot mover. Like, he doesn't really say a lot of jokes,
yeah.
You know? It's just kind of like extra dialogue. Oh, let's give it a Foghorn Leghorn.
We're going to toss a little Foghorn Leghorn in here. All right. We're going to do something. And this is the problem also, is that like a lot of the dialogue in the movie is exposition or really bad jokes. And there's sometimes where the dialogue that's expositional dialogue meant to illustrate a character is so bad that it is a joke. Like, okay, so I do want to praise this movie for one thing, which is conceptually, I actually really like the overarching concept of like, all right, the algorithm goes bad on us and becomes sentient and it is trying to destroy people's lives. I think that's a really clever idea. I really would like to think that the original writer and director of this movie, Terrence Nance, came up with that, because Terrence Nance is a really creative director and writer. I really like his other work. You should check out, listeners, if you haven't, An Oversimplification of Her Beauty and Random Acts of Flyness, both of which he created and stars in and wrote and directed. Very entertaining stuff. But there are some lines, like, so Al G. Rhythm, played by Don Cheadle, who's just, like, showing up and doing a great job, as Don Cheadle tends to do. And he has this one line that I had to write down, where he said, he's talking to little LeBron, he's talking to Dom, and he goes, and he's like, why do I have to play this basketball game against my dad? And then Al goes, dads don't understand reason, they understand power.
Yeah.
Which is like, I get what the line's trying to do, but it's laughably bad.
Yeah. I think he like points at him at one point, and he goes like, you need to show him how special you are.
Yes.
Like, whoa. I do love his performance. The fact that like he changes in between bad coaches or like really angry coaches during the Space Jam match. Like,
but again, like, why are you including a Bobby Knight reference in a movie that is for millennial parents and their children?
Yeah.
Most millennials probably don't even know who Bobby Knight was.
I'm like, I know the chair bit. I don't know the name of the couch.
And did
I know
you
Bill
know that
Belichick.
You wore a red sweater? Of course.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a thing. He's like,
oh, the
coach.
Hoodie thing. That is a Bill Belichick
that's
reference.
Bill Belichick. Yeah,
it just so occurred to me.
They made him do like a bunch of like bad, like mean evil coaches, which I think is funny. And then even like Daffy Duck being the coach that isn't actually a coach for LeBron is very funny too. There was like all this stuff revolving around LeBron, all those jokes there. If you know a little bit of basketball, Four Court Vision was a constant joke.
Full Court Vision. Yeah.
Um, But we're not here to talk about the good things. We're here to talk about the bad things.
Well, here's the, I mean, the point you make about the Looney Tunes being pushed to the side, to the point where literally in the plot, the majority of the movie is, as far as from a basketball perspective, is LeBron telling the Looney Tunes to not be wacky Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
He's telling them to focus on the fundamentals. So he's literally making the movie worse as a character by not allowing them to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
Like, LeBron's whole element of this movie is just somebody who thinks he knows how people should live and how people should act and fucks up their entire lives.
But that, right. And to go back to like the, how cool the cyberspace algorithm thing is, that's what he should be shitting on, but he can't because AT&T doesn't want him to shit on the IP. Like when he shows up in the Matrix, he should be like, this is stupid. Like, you know?
Yeah.
God, can you imagine if the whole time, right, LeBron is encouraging the Looney Tunes to be loony, but the Looney Tunes don't want to be loony anymore because they're bored of it, which is kind of what they wanted to do anyway.
Right, which it seems like that's kind of where it's going in the first half of the movie.
You're like, oh, man. Then he's like, what are you doing? You like space, like the Matrix? Really? Like, no, you can't be here. I don't know. Maybe I, you know, maybe, I don't know.
But no, you make a great point because the first thing that we find out when LeBron goes onto Looney Tunes world is that all of the Looney Tunes except for Bugs have vanished. And it's because they're bored of being Looney Tunes because the algorithm convinced them to not be Looney Tunes anymore, which is so absurd that it kind of works.
There's a line that Bugs Bunny says to LeBron as they're flying off the cliff. And he looks at him and he goes, I'm a Looney Tune. I can't die. Like, that's the movie. That's terrifying.
That's the movie.
Like, have the Looney Tunes invade the real world and, like, I can't die. Like, oh my gosh.
Oh my God, terrifying. Dude. It's just, terrifying. But that's the thing. It's like, it takes this huge potential opportunity and just squanders it in favor of jokes for nobody, dialogue that is awful from top to bottom. And it's so frustrating. I was telling Ted beforehand, I rewatched a part of this movie that I fell asleep during while I was on the ground, and I learned basically nothing from that element of the movie that I watched. It's a part where you find out how everybody gets inside the algorithm to watch the game. But like, it didn't explain anything really. It was just like, okay, I guess, yeah, they're all here. I didn't need to have that part explained to me.
Yeah, I totally get that. I left the first time I watched it, I left, I think right before, spoilers, I guess,
who cares? Who fucking cares about spoilers in this movie?
Superman finally stops the train before it hits the orphanage. So it's funny that I left the room right when the orphanage was going to get destroyed. So I didn't see Superman, but I saw him this time around. And I was like, and on the rewatch, I'm kind of like, why didn't they just ask, why wouldn't Superman do this? And then like, yeah, have Superman be on the team. I don't know. It just was like, I was just so frustrated at like how, like I just want the Looney Tunes. I don't need, it's like you're adding, like you're making a drink and you just keep adding flavors. And instead of it being this nice remix, it's just,
This is an adios motherfucker of a movie.
It is. It's like, you know how I some people love this stuff. But like a little kitten that's wearing a Batman suit, you know, like a Hello Kitty doll that has like, I don't know, a Godzilla. Well, that's actually cute. That kind of makes sense to me. I don't know. Like a Hello Kitty wearing a Superman suit doesn't make any sense to me. I can't. No. I don't like that. I'm like, get that off my shelf. Give me Hello Kitty next to Superman, maybe. I don't know. I'm on a rant now. I'm very weird.
I think. Here's another problem I have with this movie. So once we finally allow the Looney Tunes to be Looney Tunes, which is what we should have been doing this whole time.
Yeah.
They still don't actually feel like the Looney Tunes. Like, can we talk about Porky Pig's rap for a sec?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was oh, man. After LeBron makes the face, then you have Porky Pig's rap. Yeah.
This is a real low point in my entire year, was watching the Porky Pig rap.
Yeah. It was a choice.
It was sure was a choice because and it was a choice that there's I don't understand. I don't know how they got to that point. I don't
style
know.
Style points was a
I don't understand. Who is it for? Who is this for? That's the biggest problem. The biggest question I had the entire movie was, who is this movie for?
Yeah.
Because it's not for people who love the original Space Jam, clearly.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Because it's totally different.
You know, when you talk about changing the character development of the Looney Tunes, right? Mm-hmm. I look at the newest Looney Tunes show, which I recommend checking out. I've only watched a few episodes, but like they take Lola Bunny's character, right? Mm-hmm. And in the new Looney Tunes, and instead of just making her kind of like a brash, girl power kind of character, they
girl
turn
boss
her,
Lola Bunny.
You know what I mean? I watched the first Space Jam. And I'm like, oh man, Lola Bunny's so, like, it's great to have Lola Bunny, but also it's kind of like a caricature of the past that and kind of still around. But you got Lola Bunny in the new show, and she's this like obsessed kind of like obsessed with Bugs Bunny, and like Bugs Bunny is kind of always like trying to keep his distance from almost every single Looney Tunes character because they all are like fucking crazy.
Oh,
and so Looney Tunes is like this and so Lola Bunny's like this obsessed like I don't know,
is she like a stalker?
She's like a kind of like a stalker, like they are dating, but she's also just kind of like
she's just too much.
She's too much. She like twists Bugs Bunny's words a lot and shit like that. And then like you have Daffy Duck being Daffy Duck, but he's also like a narcissist, like even tenfold more, and like just doing all this horrible things. So like you can like, if you want to like update it, you can get those writers and like have them write the movie. You don't even need the old Space Jam guys. I mean,
that's a great point. I don't even know why, because those new Looney Tunes cartoons just came out.
Yeah.
So they were pretty obviously in development, at least at the same time as Space Jam was. Like Space Jam, so Space Jam, the original one, came out way back in the 90s, right? 95, mm-hmm. 96 maybe. Hold on. I'm actually going to fact check myself on that. 1996. So they originally were like, all right, cool. Space Jam is a huge hit. We're going to make a sequel. I don't know if you knew any of this. They were originally going to have Michael Jordan was going to come back with the Toon Squad. They were going to face off an alien villain voiced by Mel Brooks, would have been outstanding.
Love it.
How
do you top Danny DeVito? Yeah, there you go.
Mel Brooks. It's great. But then, so Michael Jordan didn't agree to star in a sequel. He apparently, one of the producers lied to the studio and said that Michael Jordan was cool with being in a sequel, and they just were like trying to develop the project without him, and then they realized, oh, we've been lied to. MJ's not going to do this. Then they tried to do Spy Jam, which was going to star Jackie Chan.
Okay.
And then they wanted to do one called Race Jam, which would have starred Jeff Gordon. Hopefully they would have changed the title. That would have been, that's a real weird
that kind
title
of reminds,
in retrospect.
I haven't seen all of the Looney Tunes back in action, but maybe some things carried over. I know they're like on a road trip.
Yeah. Well, they were originally, so these are all the phases it got to before it became Looney Tunes back in action.
Oh, wow.
They were going to do Race Jam, and then they were going to do Golf Jam with Tiger Woods. Okay. And then they were going to do Skate Jam.
That
with Tony Hawk.
Skate Jam. Okay. Yeah, that's fun. That was so 90s. Probably out of the 90s by that
super
point.
Super 90s.
Missed opportunity there.
But then they did Looney Tunes back in action instead of all of those.
Yeah.
And eventually LeBron James comes back on because he does okay in Trainwreck in 2014. Yeah. Justin Lin was supposed to direct this movie. Kobe Bryant was supposed to direct this movie. Terrence Nance was supposed to direct this movie.
Wow.
All of them split. All of them had creative differences, quote unquote, with the studio. And vanished.
Good for them.
Good for them.
Good for them. Yeah, that's, you know, watching this and then watching Space Jam 1, I am blown away at how good Michael Jordan is in Space Jam. Space Jam 1. I don't know if it's nostalgia. Like, it, honestly, a lot of it probably is. But it's he's really good. He's like, I feel for him through the whole movie. And he's funny.
He is.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the great – I did – so I've done an episode of this podcast on Trainwreck previously where I talked about I don't know why LeBron James gets all of this praise for what he did in Trainwreck. Yeah. And I'm going to say it here again. LeBron James is – he's great at many things, but acting is not one of them.
Yeah.
It's just not.
You can tell, like, the bedroom scene – oh, maybe that's another thing why I'm so also disconnected from LeBron James, because he's in this mansion and stuff, and I'm like, I'm not in a fucking mansion. And then, but Michael Jordan is in like a house in Space Jam 1.
Yeah.
And it's all like real. And then in Space Jam: A New Legacy, he's like on a soundstage in like this bedroom, and like maybe that was a chance to like work with him acting wise, but and like they're like getting him and his wife are getting ready for bed, and it's just tough to watch. You know,
it's so bad, man. And it's just on a level that I do not know. It's not even that I don't know how it became this bad. I know exactly how it became this bad. It's because the studio just wanted to push it out because they knew people were going to watch Space Jam 2.
Yeah.
They just knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I think
they did.
If they had just, if there are so many adjustments that could have been made to the plot, to the script, mm-hmm. to the characters. How do you write a movie about basketball starring one of the best basketball players of the modern era and
have and just have the Clockwork Orange guys dancing in the background? How does that happen? How do you have Casablanca world? Like, what?
How do you have Pennywise?
Pennywise, it's so distracting. Like, do you, I watched Space Jam 1 and I'm like, what's going on in the background? And like, it's dark. Like, you see figures and like, you look a little and you're like, oh yeah, if I wanted to, I'm going to look in the background and I'll see, oh yeah, I think I remember that character from that, the bull or whatever from that one episode of Looney Tunes. In this, they force you to look at everybody. It's Iron Giant is said like 4 times. Yeah. Nobody cares. Like, it's a good movie. Let it be a movie and not... my race car bed theme that hurt my back. You know what I mean? Like, don't.
Dude, you know this, and here's the crazy thing. So there's all these characters in this movie. By the way, I'm sure that maybe if you've listened to this, you've picked up on this. Ted, I don't know if you ever saw the story. So they had a scene with Pepe Le Pew in there that they cut out because Pepe Le Pew is like a skunk rapist or something, right? But they have Alex and the Droogs from A Clockwork Orange, which is like you're introduced to their characters.
Oh my
with
God.
Them like breaking into someone's house and raping her. So they're fine as long as they're dancing around in the background and shaking their little canes. You have there's a character that shows up that I didn't realize was a thing. The nun from The Devils. Have you ever heard of The Devils?
Yeah, I saw the nun in the background. I have. You talk about with the where they're in the elevator? No, I don't know this one.
So The Devils. No. That's the M. Night Shyamalan. That's a whole other thing. The Devils is a movie that I just found out about very recently. It received an X rating in the United States. It has never been released in its full uncut form in the United States because it's a movie that's about like the devil possessing a bunch of priests and nuns. There's a scene literally that has never been shown in public in the release of the movie that they refer to as the Rape of Christ. And a nun from that movie got a cameo in Space Jam: A New Legacy. Who is this for?
As my roommate said, if you just, like, it doesn't matter. People, because now we're talking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
now people are going to go see that movie because just I'm going to watch that.
I mean, I want to watch that movie. I want to see the uncut version of this movie.
Yeah.
Which I'm never going to be able to see. How dare you, HBO Max.
So, like, it worked. Congratulations. But you have taken it. It waters it down. That's like, it's so short term, I think, you know, like, great. Mm-hmm. We all know now that you don't care about, you're not cherishing the IP. Like, I think there's got to be repercussions to this. Like, Game of Thrones, it already kind of had a bad taste in my mouth, and now it is a cavity, you know, yeah. Because of this movie. It's like, oh, you think it's good. Now, but it's like, up to season 7 or whatever, you know, right. Like, yeah.
But that's part of the thing, too. It's like, if you're going to, including all these properties is one thing. It, yeah. I get, listen, there's a reasonable chance that kids have seen, who've watched this movie, that they might have seen, like, Scooby-Doo and the Scooby-Doo gang, or the characters. The
Flintstones are there.
Flintstones characters.
And they're not
Batman
even in the
characters.
Movie. Ah, oh, jeez, yeah.
But there's no, absolutely no reason that a kid would understand references to Casablanca, or The Matrix, or fucking Game of Thrones.
Right.
There's no reason that anyone would understand these references. Yeah. And the jokes, they're clearly just in there for the parents, but they're so bad that the parents can't even laugh at them.
Yeah. 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 They're just references. Like even Duck Season, Rabbit Season bit was ruined.
Yeah.
In this movie. And rewatching the old Space Jam, I mean, maybe it's unfair of me to be comparing right now, but
I think it's perfectly fair because you know what? At least Space Jam had jokes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This movie, it is. You just honestly hit the nail on the head. References are not jokes.
There's a moment in Space Jam 1 where, and I think it's great because it's such a cool picture. And I think Pulp Fiction had just come out. And one of the monsters gets his teeth shot out, cut to a reveal of, you know, the theme. And then there's Elmer Fudd and Mustache Man.
Yosemite Sam.
And they have, like, they're in black suits with sunglasses, and they got these, like, magnums, right?
Right,
like
the Pulp Fiction joke.
Pulp Fiction joke. Real quick, in and out. That was, like, the only reference, I think.
But that's the thing. It's an actual joke instead of just being a reference.
Yeah.
Like, LeBron James landing in the ground on Looney Tunes land and the shape of his hole being a Nike swoosh.
That's funny.
That's funny.
I think that's funny. Because
it's a joke and a reference.
Right, right, right.
It's not just somebody saying a line from a movie. And being expecting the audience to laugh because, oh, guess what? They said that line that's from The Matrix or whatever, right?
We still have TNT here. Great. Oh, I was like, oh, good. Bugs is here. It's saved.
Yes.
When Bugs was, like, really drunk, I was like, oh, that's adorable. And then we went to DC World. I think the thing about the Crofts referencing, you know, along with there being too many flavors in the mix, is that like it doesn't make any sense. I'm watching Space Jam 1 and I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Why would you pair up Michael Jordan and the Looney Tunes? But they did it. They found a way because the aliens are too short, so they challenged them to basketball.
Right.
It's great. Like, it's just so, it shouldn't make sense, but it's a good remix. It's Linkin Park and Jay-Z. Like, it's just, it just works and it's perfect. And then you add in, like, everything else in the kitchen sink and and then another, like, comparison is, like, the villain in Space Jam 1 is, like, this horrible manager. Like, he's this out for money, greed.
Right.
And then you have, like, in the new movie, it's this corporation that wants to sell its IP.
Right.
But that's the movie.
The villain of the movie is the movie. It's like the kind of idea that I feel like was pitched to Warner Brothers, and they were like, "Oh, that's so funny. That's so clever. That's a great." Because I legitimately do again think that is a great concept for how to have a villain in a movie and have it be self-referential. But you can't have the villain of your movie stand as the emblem for the entirety of the movie.
Right. Yeah. And not have LeBron dislike all of it. Like, right. If LeBron is in the movie and not liking all of that, like, great. Yeah. But
LeBron's riding
it.
A dragon having a great time.
Oh.
LeBron, as soon as he finds out that they can get other Warner Brothers characters this whole time, is like, great, we're going to get the Iron Giant. We're going to get other people. I don't remember.
We're going to get King Kong. Yeah, then do that. Then have that movie. I guess then have that movie. I don't know. But I like the Looney Tunes. It works with the Looney Tunes. I don't know. I think there's a great moment in Space Jam 1. He's like, the way we get to... We just do it. We just go to... Oh, yeah. It's called Cyber... All the villains in this movie are from Cyber World. Cyber... I don't know what it's called.
The Serververse.
Serververse. The villains in Space Jam 1 are from a place called Moron Mountain.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
It's a great name.
And, like, the way that we get there is just that we go there. It's paired up perfectly. We have our heroes meet at the, you know... At a nexus point.
Yes.
In this movie, it's like we just run into Bugs Bunny. In Michael Jordan movie, he turns on cartoons for his kids because he doesn't want them to see the news shitting on him.
Yeah.
So he turns on the cartoons, and what's happening to the cartoons? They're dealing with the same shit he is. And they are like, and it's great. They run on screen and they're like, we got to go to a union meeting. And they leave. And it's just like, silence, and the kids are like, where are the cartoons?
It's great.
Oh, it's beautiful writing. And then in this movie, I'm spinning this thing really quick, and I look like I'm from Spy Kids with the quick shit. I hate it when movies do that, when they like speed up the animation and make you look like weird. It gives me a sick feeling,
dude. This whole movie is so so unfortunate. I
could keep talking about it. I could keep talking about how bad it is because I had to watch it twice.
Dude, I'm kudos to you for watching it twice. Kudos. Major props, because I put you through this and you should not have had to deal with this, but that's what we do for the love of podcasting, Ted.
Yeah, I appreciate you. I'm glad we didn't even touch on like the rules of the video game world.
Well, because there's no way you can accept the rules of the video game world as anything other than crazy. Like, that's the thing. I was just talking to I was talking to Alex Denny last week on an episode where we talked about how what movie did we talk about? We did fuck me. Sorry, hold on. I'm trying to remember what movie we talked about. Why can't I remember what?
Because you just
movie?
Talked about how shitty the world is instead, and that's how bad that movie was.
Well, hold on. Sorry, I'm gonna look this up. I'm gonna look this up right now. Little Nicky, okay?
Little Nicky.
So Little Nicky is a movie that takes place. It could have taken place in a grounded version of hell, and instead it takes place in a wacky version of Earth, and because it's people who are crazy in this also wacky version of Earth, like, it's just too much chaos. The a lot of the jokes don't land. What happens in this movie is that it's like, compared to Space Jam, where a lot of stuff made sense because there was a plot progression that kind of made sense. Instead, we just basically get told in Space Jam: A New Legacy, all right, here's what's going to happen. We're going to show you a montage of that thing happening that's going to be wacky. And especially in the video game land, anytime – that's the only part of the movie that I have – well, not the only part. One of the few parts of the movie that I have no qualms with, because I'm like, oh, yeah, it's a wacky video game. Of course none of this stuff makes sense. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
Because they establish from the jump, none of the stuff that happens in this video game version of the basketball game is going to make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the first one too, like, oh, the points like kind of don't matter. Right.
Right.
But I don't know. I think in the, it's like, it's great. In the first one, he's like, oh, with 10 seconds on the clock, like, you tell me that I can destroy the bounds of physics. Thanks for that. Uh-huh. Like, hilarious. In this one, the son picks up an upgrade on the ground and throws it at his face.
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess that's kind of like, you figured it out. I don't know.
I guess. I mean, but that's the moment that father and son finally come together, right? Because he wants to help his shitty dad, LeBron James.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Okay. Bugs Bunny dies. I don't know how you kill Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny dies. That's you killed Bugs Bunny. You let Bugs Bunny fall on the sword and die. And then also he doesn't die. He comes back 5 minutes later. I can't believe that there are people out there who like this movie.
Oh, no. I mean,
it blows my mind. This movie.
The internet's a powerful place. I can now rewatch the prequels and have fun. And the internet did that for me. So just do you want it to, right? Do you want to be convinced that this is a good movie? Go for it. Absolutely. Have fun. Good luck.
Good luck. Good luck out there. Hey, listen, the only good news at the end of this movie is that we are going to get apparently Wrestling Jam starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, actually, that's...
That sounds great. Oh,
that sounds great. If they don't
As long mess, as they don't fuck it up like this time.
Yo, really, because that sounds like a lot of fun, but...
I have no faith.
I'm going to watch it on HBO Max again, even if I can breathe outside.
I will.
It's going to... That's 90s too. Like, man.
Well, you know what the nice thing is that The Rock is way more likable than LeBron James is. Mm. LeBron James as sort of like, as his, not even just in film, his character in the world of basketball, he's kind of an anti-hero, right? Like he was drafted by Cleveland and then he shit on Cleveland and left to Miami.
That was my biggest thing. I was like, that's where they should have put the movie. It's about returning home. It's like in Michael Jordan, he's got like, he goes to, we all know that he went to baseball and he comes back. It's mm-hmm. taking place after that or whatever. It takes place during that. And we all know.
Yeah.
It should have been, he's on Miami Heat and he decides after the movie's over, he has made the decision to go back to Cleveland. That should have, and that's the best part of LeBron is that he goes back home and he wins a championship for his house.
Right.
Like, if it was about that, because we all know where it's going. He's on the Heat. He like people like maybe mad at him for like stacking a team.
Yeah,
and then he wins with the Looney Tunes, who are like nobodies. He says, "You know what? I'm gonna go back to Cleveland because I'm fucking off." That should have been the movie.
Best metaphor of all time is that after he wins with the nobodies of the Looney Tunes, he's like, you know what? I can make this shit work in Cleveland. All right, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my Michael's Secret stuff with me and be gone.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I love the Michael B. Jordan reference. I did like that.
It's fine. I knew that it was happening, so I was okay. Ted... This has been way more enjoyable than Space Jam A New Legacy was.
It really was. Thanks for having me.
Dude, thanks for being on. Where can the listeners find you on the internet if they want to try and prove that you should like Space Jam A New Legacy and that we are both totally incorrect?
Find me, Google Eileen O'Connell and follow Eileen O'Connell on Twitter, who wanted to be in Space Jam. So bad. Huge fan there. She's got an episode here where she talks about Prometheus. That's hilarious.
Yes.
She's a very funny person. Go follow her. She deserves a lot of support right now because she would have made that movie awesome. Otherwise, go to thepacktheater.com and check out some classes there. I'll say that much. I'm involved in that theater. I don't really do a lot of social media stuff. So go take classes at the Pack Theater if you want to be funnies or meet people who are funny.
Yeah, please do. The Pack's great. I love the Pack. That's how we met.
So, you know, throw that out
there. Wonderful. You can find me at Diet J on Twitter and Instagram, jlightcomedy.com for shows, both live and live streamed. And if you like the show, please tell a friend. Consider subscribing to my Patreon. You get bonus episodes that are weekly-ish. I've been for anyone who actually is subscribed and is like, where have the bonus episodes been? I've been super busy. I'm going to address it this week because I'm not super busy anymore. I have some crazy stories to tell you guys that I have to keep behind a paywall.
yes, so, the juice.
Yeah, we got that juice.
That secret stuff.
We got Jay's secret stuff. and that's it. Ted, thanks again, dude.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. This is so much fun.
Yeah.
Great podcast. Love great this podcast.
This has been Blockbusting. Go see something good for a change.